Thank you for tuning in to our Restoration Life podcast. Don't forget to rate and review the message and share it out with your friends on social media. Can't wait for you to listen in next week.
Can we give God a shout of praise in the house today, church? Hallelujah. How we doing? That's what I'm talking about. Let me go ahead and get set up here. I want to say welcome to everybody here. Hello, hello. See a lot of new faces here. That's what I'm talking about. Good to see you. I promise you, I'm not mean. It's your first time here. I'm a nice dude. And if this is your first time here, you got good news. If you don't like what you hear today, you can come back next week. And then a whole other person will be here. And that person is our lead pastors. Our lead pastors right now are in Virginia. They're with Pastor John and Anna Morgan, ministering at Word of Life Ministries in Virginia. So we say hello to them, and we just miss you, and we can't wait for you to get back. I also want to give a quick shout-out to my little sis, Justine Vargas, and her fiancé, Anthony, that they just got engaged this weekend, and we want to congratulate them. And this has been an awesome year, right? Like, a lot of engagements and marriages. I see newlyweds hiding in the back over there. I see you. Got newlyweds over here. Why y'all not together? Y'all better sit next to me. I'm kidding. It's been an awesome year of just growth here at Restoration Life, and I'm just excited to be a part of it. Man, this year's gone by quick, hasn't it? We finished Thanksgiving. We made it. You survived. You didn't fight your aunties at Thanksgiving. You're all here. That means the gratitude messages have been working, and you guys are going strong. Praise God. And it is Christmas season now. Yay. Finally, now it's Christmas season. Not before Thanksgiving. Not after Halloween. After Thanksgiving. See, I love Christmas. Just after Thanksgiving. Just give me some. I don't need 2 months of that. I don't need too much. I don't even play Mariah in my house. Mariah gets no burner. No. It is not Christmas in my house till Donny Hathaway plays. Yeah. Hang all the mistletoe. I'm gonna get to know you better. Come on. This Christmas. That's Christmas. Forget Mariah. Mariah can get up out of my house with all that. All I want for Christmas is you. No. We want Jesus for Christmas. Hallelujah. It is Christmas, so I'm glad everybody's so excited. That means everybody's going to be here tonight to do Deck the Halls, right? Yeah. We're so excited. It's been a while since we've been able to do this on this scale again. So we got something really special for those of you guys who got little ones. We're going to have a movie playing for the little kids there. We got hot chocolate, cider, snacks. We're going to decorate this whole entire church and transform it for Christmas. Can we do that? Yeah. One last thing. Restoration Life, we are habitually late to register for anything. Women's conference, everybody waits till the week of. Marriage retreat, you wait till the week of. Kids camps, you wait till the week of. We are habitually late. So can you put that graphic back on the screen real quick? Because what happens is you see the announcement video. You watch the announcement video, you're like, I'm going to go to that. I want to be a part of that. I'm going to go. I promise. I'm going to register. And you never do. You know how I know? Because I check them. I check them. And what's funny is some of you guys, you've already bought your dress. You already got your shoes. You got your hair and your nail appointment. Guys, you already buying your tux. And you haven't bought tickets. You haven't. So I'm going to move aside real quick. So pick up your phones. Go ahead and scan the code. Because you're not going to do it. You say, I'm going to do it later on today. I promise, Pastor Max, we're going to get it done. And you're lying. You're lying. Then the day of, you're like, Pastor Max, can I still go to the ball? I really want to go. I'm sorry, I forgot to get my tickets. Right now, get your tickets. It's going to be absolutely amazing. We had a blast last time. If you were there last year, you saw how much fun it was. And we can't wait to celebrate again. This time, we're going even bigger. We got some surprises for you guys. We're going to have amazing times. And I look forward to each one of you guys being there. Would you say amen? With that, we're going to jump into today's message. If you have your Bibles or your apps, I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. So for the past several weeks, we've been in this series titled, Have You Tried Gratitude? Have You Tried Gratitude? And we started to get into this series because oftentimes we rely solely on thankfulness. And when we're going through trials and we're going through struggles and we're going through hardships, we are reluctant to try gratitude. So we learn that thankfulness is a temporary response of appreciation. That's what we learned about thankfulness. And thankfulness is of God. We should be thankful. When we are blessed, we should respond with thankfulness. But we also want to know that it is important to have a posture of gratitude. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, "But we ask you, brothers and sisters, to recognize those who diligently labor among you and are in leadership over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you regard them very highly in love because of their work." It says, "Live in peace with one another." Congratulations, you guys made it through Thanksgiving. Now just one more month of living in peace, you'll be all right. If you can make it through the holidays living in peace, the rest of the year is a breeze. Live in peace with one another. It says, "We urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek what is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." Again, gratitude is a posture of existence. You have to choose gratitude. You have to choose to be thankful for your children when they're getting on your nerves in the morning. You have to choose to have gratitude when the Starbucks clerk or a person messes up your drink. Some of y'all are like, Don't they know I'm in a hurry? I got stuff to do. It ain't that hard. And y'all got the most complicated order. Y'all know who y'all are. Talk about upside down, inside out, shake and turn, around, caramel, half blend, cookie, this. No, just give us on the menu. Maybe they wouldn't mess it up. You can choose gratitude today when you go to lunch and the waiter might forget your drink or take a little long with the chips. You can choose that. You can choose to have gratitude for your wife or for your husband that they're there, even though sometimes they get on your nerves. These are choices that you make. This is a posture of existence. We choose to be grateful for the life that God has given us. Thankful is a temporary response of appreciation. Gratefulness is a permanent posture of appreciation. Would you say amen? So today we're going to continue and get ready to close this series out. I just want to pray over everyone. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Father, we thank you for your word given to us to correct us and mature us and grow us according to your will. We thank you, Father, for the life that we get to experience on this earth by your hand and your hand alone. Jesus, we thank you for your love and for your sacrifice that you laid your life down on the cross on our behalf to give us life and life more abundantly. Holy Spirit, I ask that you transform our minds today. Allow our hearts to be fixated on your divine will. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We give you all the honor and all the praise, and all of God's people said, come on, give God some praise one more time. Thank you, Vienna. So throughout this series, we've been unpacking these different keys to help us grow in gratitude. If you missed some of these, I encourage you to go back and check them out on YouTube. They're there. Watch them. It's very helpful. Real quick, I just want to review some of these we talked about. The first one we learned is that we should appreciate the people that God has placed on our path. Gratitude begins there. When I look around my life, and right now I'm looking around this room and I'm seeing so many people I'm grateful to have in my life that have been a blessing to my life, that have added value to my life, starting with this one right here. You're cool. I'm thankful for my wife, and I'm grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for my children. I'm grateful for my siblings. I'm grateful for my parents. I'm grateful for my grandparents. I'm grateful for coworkers and different leaders, coaches, and other people that have been in my life. I appreciate these people. I appreciate those that corrected me and checked me when I was going all sideways. At the time, when you get checked, of course, you don't appreciate it. Like, don't tell me what to do. You didn't do that in front of your parents. And everybody remember when you were a kid, you go in your room, and you make sure they can't see you. Then you're like, you can't tell me nothing. I don't know how grandmothers, they could see like through the wall and just like, what you say? I ain't saying nothing. I'm grateful for those lessons. I'm grateful for the correction. None of us get life perfect right off the bat, do we? And correction is needed in order for us to be able to mature and grow, particularly in our faith. I'm thankful for life group leaders and ministry leaders and pastors that have been in my life. I'm thankful and appreciative of all these people, and I show my gratitude by how I live my life now. It's nice to send a thank you card. It's nice to post a picture on social media. These are awesome things. But the true way you show gratitude for the people in your life and what they've invested into your life is how you live your life. I live my life honoring my wife on a daily basis. I can't show gratitude and then drag her name in the mud when I'm away from her. But, oh, no, she knows I love her and I thank her, but, you know, I act like I'm not married anytime I'm not around her. Tracking. I'm grateful for the deposits in my life, so I live my life a certain way. That truly shows my gratitude. That's the first thing we talked about. The second thing we talked about was the power that empathy has with gratitude. Learning that if we come to understand other people's struggle and reflect on how God has brought us out of our struggle, it empowers gratitude. Because we can look back at our lives when we are helping others in their struggles. We look back, man, I remember when I was going through that. And God got me through that, amen. How many people are here happy today that God got you through some stuff? Come on. So when we have that understanding, it's like they're going through some stuff. Their response to me is not just because that's who they are, but it's because what they're going through. Most of the time we encounter people and they're kind of salty or they got a kind of attitude or upset. It's because they're going through something. You know, our oldest son, Malachi, he's 13 and he's going through something. It's called puberty. It's going to cost him his life. But before me and Teresa get us, because at first we were like, what is happening with this boy? I'm about to kill him. But then we started to remember like, oh yeah, that part of life happens. Every person in here, everybody's like, no, it doesn't. Yes, it does. Every single one of you in here, you try to challenge the throne. At one point, every man in here, you were once a boy and tried to challenge the throne in your house. I could take my dad. I could totally take my dad. You thought it at least once. Every daughter in here, you thought to yourself, she don't know what she's talking about. At least once. So we've all gone through that. So when our children go through these things, we have empathy for them. And again, empathy is not permitting sinfulness. I want everybody to get this. Just because I understand that you act on a fool doesn't mean it's okay for you to act a fool. I just understand where it's coming from. So that's going to help me display grace towards you and not kill you. Empathy is challenging. It's hard. I have to like check myself all the time because I'm very close to becoming like Clint Eastwood and Gran Torino. I'm that dude. Like I can see myself on the porch one day and like my grandkids coming up telling me how hard their life is. Yeah, your life is hard? I was in Iraq. I was in Afghanistan. You have no idea what hard is. I grew up in a time where you had to rewind a tape with a pencil because it got messed up. You don't know what hard is. And it's easy to fall into some of these traps. And when we hear people going through different kinds of struggles, and we're like, oh, man, that's not that bad. That's not empathy. But when I take time to understand their position and what they're going through and say, hey, let me come down into this dark place with you and I'm going to show you there's a way out of it. I've been here And I understand what you're going through. Let me help you, guide you out of this. That is how empathy empowers gratitude, because we begin to appreciate those who had empathy on us. I was here for the first service, and I'm just thinking back like, man, I remember the first time I came to Restoration Life. And that was in 2009. I had come back on leave from Afghanistan. You remember? It was a Christmas service. Funny thing, 2009, Christmas service, I was on leave from Afghanistan, and the people who were here had grace on us. They had empathy and understanding, and they had love. And from that very first moment, we felt like this was home. Long before we actually made Restoration Life home, we already felt that connection because of the love and grace that was inside of this room. And I remember that first service, I had won the Christmas raffle. So for those of you guys who have been mad at me for winning raffles, I've been winning here since day one. Since day one, I've been winning here. Favor ain't fair. Call it what you want. But it goes to show you that I can't even play no more. They took me off all everything. It's like, you won too much. But it goes to show you the power of empathy. Just because people took the time to understand where I was coming from and love me, that empowered me to be who I am today. So today we want to close up the series, and I want to focus on these last three verses here. These last three verses, 16, 17, and 18. Paul writes, rejoice always. You read that, you go, what? What do you mean always? Like always, always? Or like, you know, always? And Paul's like, no, always, always. All the time. And, you know, on Thanksgiving, we drove up to my sister's house, and I filled up the truck, and it was like $120. I was like, this is not a rejoiceful moment. I am very upset right now. When the Holy Spirit always gets a hold of my heart, like, hey, at least you got a truck that you can carry your whole family in that works, that will get you there safely, and it will get you back. And you actually have the finances to pay the $120. So be grateful. I'm like, I'm fine. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's hard to rejoice when your children have diarrhea. Like, I got to talk about it. It's true. Because these are the moments you don't think about. And she's like, can you change your diaper real quick? And I go like, oh, it's a whole pool down here. Rough. You don't feel like rejoicing. Like, thank you, Jesus, that her insides are getting all the bacteria out. And that's not what you're thinking. You're like, why? Why? Why right now? But then again, the Holy Spirit quickens your heart and says, you got children, and you've been blessed, and they're beautiful, and they're healthy. It is what it is. So many circumstances come our way, and so many times come our way, where it's easy to not be in a spirit of rejoicing. But Paul's trying to teach you something. He's saying, rejoice always. Always, all the time. It freaks people out when they see somebody going through a hard time but rejoicing. And they're like, why are they so happy? The joy of the Lord is within me. I know who's with me. I know who protects me. I know who provides for me. I know who loves me. That is why I rejoice always. What ends up blocking our ability to rejoice is that we have not established a heart that is content with the kingdom. So my first point today is this, write this down. The next step and key to establishing gratitude in your life is be content with the kingdom. I want to read a portion of scripture to you that almost made me walk away from church the first time I heard it. I forget how young I was, but I remember hearing this and I was like, there's no way. There's no way I can do that. Absolutely not. In John chapter 12, verse 25, Jesus says this. He says, whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, as a new person in church, when you hear this, you're like, wait, hold on. Let's rewind. So if I love my life, I lose my life, and then I have to hate my life to be able to have eternal life? How can I do it? I love my life. I really love my life. I don't get this, Pastor. I don't understand this. This doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I know now on this side of things, and some of you guys look at me, it's not that big a deal, Pastor Mac. We think about when you first walk into church, like one of your first times in church, and then seeing this, and how that would impact you, and how you begin to think like, well, what does that mean? Do I not love this life? Am I supposed to be like sad all the time and upset all the time and angry all the time? What does that mean? And the reason why this really threw me off was because it wasn't placed in context. And the minister didn't take the time to really show what Christ was communicating here. And I really miss a great portion of the scripture. But let's look at it again. It says, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world. Wait a minute, I missed that part. What do you mean in this world? Jesus was trying to communicate to the disciples there that this life you live in the physical is temporary. This is not your real life. This is a temporal experience that you are having. And you should not prioritize this life over your eternal life. You see, because there's more to your story than the years you live upon this earth. You exist in eternity. Now, what you choose to do while you're in this temporal life will determine where you experience that eternity. No matter what, you're going to be in eternity. Are you going to be in darkness in eternity, or are you going to be in the presence and glory of God in eternity? This is what Jesus was trying to communicate, is that when you cling to this life, when you're trying to build your heaven in this life, when you're trying to build your own castle in this life, you forfeit the kingdom. You cannot fixate on this temporary existence and build a life in eternity at the same time. It requires sacrificing one or the other. Think about it. Think about how much time, energy, effort, peace, happiness, joy, your talents, your ability. How much of yourself is invested into this life? Think about what we put into our jobs and our careers. Think about what you give into school. I remember trying to write papers in school. And you're like, ugh. Hours upon hours, hours upon hours, studying and investing. And most of us, we're not even using that degree we got in the career that we're in. And you just invested all that time, energy, money, and effort towards something that you don't even use anymore. And now you're still paying Sally Mae and Uncle Sam back for that. How many times have you invested your time, energy, and effort into a job and you don't have that job anymore? And if you got sick or something happened to you, that job already forgot about you. You've already been replaced. Let you get sick right now. And like, I can't come in. Like, well, how long can't you come in for? Okay. Well, we're moving on. Be with you. And we give so much of ourselves to these things that are temporary. We invest so much of ourselves to these things that are guaranteed to fade away, and we give so little to what exists in eternity. Let's take a look at it. Think about it. Is this the only time that you hear the word of God? When you come into this room on a Sunday? Is this the only time you're in community with the saints? No, Pastor, I go to life group too. Oh, okay, cool. Twice a week. Awesome. The church is not a building. It is a people. You are the church everywhere you go. You see, in that career that you're in that school that you attend, in your family, in your friendship circles, you are an ambassador of Christ in those places. And your responsibility is to bring the church to them. That is how you continue to invest in eternity and not fix it on what you have here. You see, we avoid certain conversations at work. Why? Man, I don't want to get in trouble at work. Wait a minute, I see a colleague and a coworker that needs some prayer right now, that needs some healing right now, that needs some affirmation and understanding of the word of God, and I'm going to refuse that in order to protect my career? I'm not going to stand on truth in school because I don't want to shake up the cages and rattle people and make people uncomfortable, and I might lose some friendship and some people might not like me, so I refuse to speak the truth out? They're poisoning the water, and we're sitting there drinking right alongside everybody instead of telling people, hey, the water is toxic now. Where are you building your eternity at? Are you content with the kingdom is my question to you. Let me ask you something. Is there any greater purpose than serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I can show you pictures when I was a child. From the time I was about 3 years old, I knew I wanted to be a soldier. I was camoed up on Halloween, my Rambo paint on. I was Commando, then I was Rambo. This is a horrible thing, and no parent should ever do this. The first movie I remember is Full Metal Jacket. I was like 4 years old. I could recite that whole drill instructor scene by five. No kid should be able to do that. That's terrible. Absolutely. So this was woven into my fabric since I was young. I used to read books on it. You would find me at the library and studying everything it was to be a soldier. And then at the age of 19, there I was in Iraq. And I was like, okay, I did it. I fulfilled my dream. That was my dream, to be a soldier. And I did it. Then I was like, now what? Now that didn't fulfill me the way I thought it would. I thought this was it. So I kept going. Well, okay, maybe if I do this, and maybe if I do that, maybe if I add some more to myself, it will bring forth that fulfillment. Can I tell you, church, I'm still wondering, like, what else am I supposed to do now? I've already completed my goal. There is nothing greater on this earth than serving the kingdom of heaven. I served the nation. I got medals for it. I got awards for it. I can show them all to you. They all just sit in the closet now. In a box. It was like, okay, you did this. None of that stuff I can take with me. None of that stuff builds my life in eternity. Now, I want to be clear about something, because a lot of minds start racing right now. We're like, what are you saying, Pastor Max? It's wrong to have a career, and it's wrong to grow, and wrong to have impact. No, it's not wrong for any of this stuff. As a matter of fact, you should be the best worker at your job. People should see you get promoted. People should see you grow a business. People should see you, you know, achieve high achievements because of your dedication to how you work. But you should also use that platform to glorify God. See, the thing was, everything I did in the military was to glorify myself. What could I get out of this? How could I have an impact? So I would go to my car and hide away from people to pray instead of praying with people. I would go away from people and read my word instead of sharing the word with people. See, because at that time, I didn't want to ruffle any feathers. I was afraid of what people might think or what they might say. And my fixation really was just on being a soldier, if I can be honest. And that's what happens at our jobs and in our schools and all these different places. We're so fixated on growing in our career, we don't seize the opportunities that God has placed in front of us to make an impact in the kingdom. You are ambassadors of the Most High. Before that, you are sons and daughters of the Most High, adopted. What greater role can you have? There is not a title that this world can give you. There is not a word that this world can give you that is better than well done, thy good and faithful servant. I am not a pastor. The world calls me pastor. I am a servant, and I am honored to be a servant of the Most High. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am a servant. There is no greater title in this world than servant of the Most High. Can you be content with the kingdom? You know, a lot of times we find ourselves caught up because society teaches us that we have to have certain things and certain accolades and certain achievements in order to say that we have value in this world. And so we start to dissect our lives and look at our lives like, man, I'm not where I thought I should be by this age. I don't have the house that I thought I have or the car I thought I have. I don't have the recognition that I thought I have or the title that I thought I have. I should have this. I should have that. And we start to fall into sadness, and then from sadness to depression, then from depression to despair, because we're looking at all these things that are outside the kingdom and we're valuing them. We value them more than the kingdom. There is nothing greater than the kingdom. And I get to serve that. You get to serve that. We get to be a part of that. We get to be part of the will of God, the one who spoke all of creation and existence. And you play a part in his will. Don't let the world try to deceive you. See, on the flip side of that despair coin is the hustle coin. See, some of us be like, nah, I'm not going to let that happen to me. I'm going to grind, hustle every day, all day, till I die. I go to bed at 2 a.m. and I wake up at 4 a.m. and, you know, I eat, hustle, and hard work, and grind, 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 grind. And that culture sounds really cool, right? Because you see them, and they're, like, taking pictures in front of houses, and I'm on a vacation, but I'm working at the same time. Like, okay, like... And that stuff starts to seep in. But what you find out about many of these people is that they're still not fulfilled. See, because you make the 100K, but then you need 200. Then you make the 200K, and now you need 5. You make the 500K, and now you need a mil. You make the mil, now you need 10 mil. You make 10 mil, now you need 100 mil. So it never stops, and you're never fulfilled because you're not serving the true will of God. You're serving yourself, and you're serving man. And the thing about man, they're always going to tell you it's not enough. It's not enough. You were, okay, you were the hot one today, but now it's this person. You know, look at how celebrities are high point one day, next thing forgotten. We moved on from that. We're on to this now. And so what that creates inside of you is you got to keep being on to the next to be pleasurable to man. Let me tell you something. You will never be enough for man. They're always going to take more from you and demand more from you. And then when you fall down, they're going to hold you down. And then they're going to step over you because you're not who you were. See, but God knows who you are. God says, you're my son and you're my daughter and I love you and I honor you and I'm going to elevate you because you humbled yourself. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to equip you. We have to stop chasing this idea of success from a worldly view. What God considers successful is one who humbles themselves before the will of God and submits themselves to the authority of God. That is success in the eyes of God. One who loves the same way Christ loved. One who has grace and empathy and compassion the same way that Christ has grace, empathy, and compassion. We aren't measured by the same standards of the world, so why are we competing with the world? The Bible says the greatest in the kingdom is the lowest in the kingdom. He says if you want to be the greatest, you got to be a slave. Oof. What do you mean I got to be a slave? That means your whole entire life is given over to me. And you trust me with it. Trust me completely with your life. That is greatness in the eyes of God. So I ask you again, can you be content with the kingdom? Because here's the thing, no matter what you build on this earth, you cannot take it with you. As my grandmother would say, you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. You cannot take it with you. That house ain't coming to the cemetery. Them cars, your last breath here, you breathe out. Your next breath, you're in front of the Father. You're not going to turn around like, God, look at all this stuff I brought. Like, is there room for this stuff? All that stuff you built up on this earth will be gone in a matter of years. Sure, your immediate family, they're going to appreciate it. You know, they're going to look at your stuff and, wow. But eventually, that stuff's going to go into a bag. And eventually, that bag is going to go into the garage. And eventually, that from the garage is going to go to Goodwill. And there's going to be somebody completely else. And they're not going to have any idea. Your house, one day, somebody else is going to live in it. Somebody else will have. Years later, it's going to be tore down. And then something else is going to be built. Your name, it'll be remembered maybe for a generation or two, maybe three if you did really good. But your great-grandkids, they ain't thinking about you. They're not. I'm just being honest with you. They're not. But if you build a life in eternity, their lives will be blessed because of what you did. See, a whole new paradigm has started in our family because we obey God. And my kids are growing up obeying God. And their kids will grow up knowing God. Now it's up to them, my kids and my grandkids, as to whether or not they continue on with this legacy. And we see this happen throughout the Bible. But understand this. Stop trying to build a life here on earth, and it will fade away. Be content with the kingdom. That is your true self. You are not a human being. You are a spirit inside of a body that has a soul. Stop thinking with your flesh and live according to the spirit. The Bible says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. You know our church. If you've been here before, you know our church. Pastor Eddie spoke on this several weeks ago. There is nothing wrong with gaining money or growing in a company or building your company. All that stuff is fantastic. Do it. But do it as if unto the Lord. Honor God with your business. We need more Christian business owners. We need more Christian teachers, doctors, lawyers, politicians. We need people who grow in these different platforms, but are ambassadors of Christ in these platforms. Never forget who gave it to you. And here's the thing, when you're not content with the kingdom, you will compromise your integrity the moment there's a conflict. Meaning if your bonus hangs in the balance of your integrity, you're gonna go after the bonus. Hey, I need you to kind of lie on these numbers and lie on these forms because, you know, we got to make this money. Oh, okay. You know, nobody's going to find out, right? It's not a big deal. A small compromise brings toxicity to your whole entire character. How far are you willing to go? You know, I remember working at a gym and they wanted to change the marketing and go in a direction where they wanted to, like, sell sex and put girls in different outfits and guys with their shirts off. And I'm like, we don't have to do this. Like, a lot of times you were just like, okay, let me just stay quiet because, you know, I make money from this gym and I want to make that money. I was like, this is not what people want to see. Nor do we need to promote like this. I don't like this and I'm not for this. Be willing to be that kind of employee. When you see things that compromise integrity, that go against your ethics, that go against your faith, speak up. Speak up. We're watching our schools become just toxic cesspools, and we're watching everybody drink from this well, and none of us are saying anything. We're sitting there. We know where this leads. We know it leads to death and destruction. We're like, oh, you know, I don't want to rock the boat. We need to flip the whole boat over and dump it out, shake it out. Like, we got to start all over. Throw it away. Be willing to be that person that stands on the word of God. Would you say amen? The Bible says this in Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, the problem is not that you earn money. It's that you prioritize money over your purpose in God. Where your career is your kingdom and cash is your king. Now I accept and I am content with the kingdom. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of this world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Can we have that heart, church? Because this is what's established your posture of gratitude. Is that God, I'm thankful for what I have. And I'm grateful and I'm content. And it's not just in the secular world. I want you guys to catch this, because people do this in the church where people are competing for platform and competing for expression, and you're not content with being on the welcome team. You need to be the pastor too. You're not content with, you know, serving as on sound. You got to be the lead worship person. Be content with wherever God has you at and serve in that place with the best of your ability. I'm not just a pastor here. And I want you to think about this. I have to carry the same posture out there, even more so than I do here. If I can't honor God and serve God and lead people to God out there, I don't belong here. I don't deserve this platform if I cannot be an even greater version of that out there, because there needs me. Not Maximilian the flesh, but the Spirit of God that is within you. So we have to stop competing for these different platforms and be content with where God has you. He's growing you right now in this position so that way he can prepare you for what's next. Stop trying to force it. Force the next thing. And I got to get here. I got to get here. I got to get there. None of these things matter. When I arrive before the Father, he's not, good job, Pastor. No, it's, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And I am honored to be able to serve the kingdom. There's nothing that has brought more fulfillment in my life than being able to serve God's church. From the very first moment we stepped into that small church in Washington and we're taking out trash and setting up chairs, to being on the worship team, to looking after the youth and the teenagers, to the young adults, to all the way to where we're at now, nothing has brought more fulfillment than this. Those medals that I got, and I got medals. They're just there, collecting dust. Nobody's going to remember that. I got the degrees. They say, oh, go out there, get your college degree. You need that. I got it. That means nothing now. I went and got the accolades. I got sports championships and championship rings and trophies. I got all this stuff. Nothing has brought more fulfillment than serving God. And I want to encourage you, for those of you guys who've been kind of on the fence about how far to go with God, give him your life. Give him all of your life and watch what he'll do with it. Trust him completely in every aspect of your life and let it go. Because there's nothing this world can offer you that will fulfill you more than the Spirit of God. I remember right before Pastor, or right after me and Pastor Eddie had the conversation about us becoming pastors, I had received an email that I had been waiting years on. Because after I got out of the Army, I was applying to all these different agencies, DEA, FBI, CIA. And I got an email from the CIA saying, we accepted you. Are you kidding me? I'm about to be James Bond, Black James Bond, what? And I'm not going to sit here like, oh, I know. I am a man of God. This is the devil. I was not like that at all. I was like, Pastor Eddie, look it. And he read it. He's like, well, what you going? And I wish he would have just told me too. No, you can't do that. You're going to be a pastor. He said, what are you going to do? I'm like, maybe I could do both. I could do both. Nobody would see it coming. I show up like I'm ministering. I'm on missionary trips right now. Nobody would ever see it coming. I'd be the best spy in the history of spy games. I know it. But I also knew, like, there's a lot of compromise in that world. I also knew that would take me away from what God had me doing. I also knew that would take me away from my family and a lot of different things that are vastly more important to the kingdom. And I had a choice to sacrifice my desire and choose to honor the King. And can I tell you, church, since making that choice to honor the King, that he has blessed my life in ways that the CIA couldn't even come close to, that I have literally gone around the world and preached the gospel and made impact in friends and countries all around this globe, can I tell you that God has taken my gifts and abilities and he turned me into a writer, a songwriter, a video producer, a video director, that he's made me a leader and a communicator, that he's put me in so many positions to have impact all around this world. And here's the best part, I'm only 36. I'm only 36. This is 15 years of serving God. And this is what he's done thus far. And now here comes another challenge. Leave everything that you've built and start all over. But you're going to do something different. This is going to be my last message for a little while here. And I was processing on what is the lasting impression I want to leave with our church. And it's not the last one. I don't want it to feel all solemn. It's a moment for me because of just, I'm remembering so much, so many things that I've experienced here and so much growth and so many great people. But I don't want this to be a somber moment for you because it's not forever. I'll be back. You'll see me in a few months. It ain't gonna be that big a deal. But it will be different. There are gonna be some changes, but change is necessary. We would not be Restoration Life without change. If Pastor Eddie and Pastor Roxanne didn't honor God and make the change to leave where they were at, we wouldn't be Restoration Life. So changes have to happen. All the way back in the Bible, you think when they started the church, all those apostles up in the upper room and they were together, they're like, okay, now we got to go out to all the world. Like, wait a minute, hold up. Can't we just stay here? If that was the case, we would have no church. All these people, generations and generations ago, made the decision to go and trust in God. And so I pray with God, I pray with the Holy Spirit, like, what is the last thing to leave as an imparting thought? And I want you guys to do this. This is the last part of growing in a posture of gratitude. Trust God in the even though. Trust God in the even though. One of the most impactful portions of Scripture in Psalms 23, verse 4, David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice that he say, if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, or when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Trust God in your even though moments. When we got out of the military, even though we were extremely broke, even though I didn't have a job, because I got out of the military and nobody told me that California, you can't work without any kind of license. I got out of the job, I could not get a job as a security guard. I got out, went to apply for some security companies. They were like, do you got a guard card? Do you got a firearms permit? I was like, I literally hunted terrorists. Literally. And you telling me I need these permits? You gotta be kidding me. I couldn't work in the medical field. I've literally triaged people in combat zones. Nope. Don't have a license, don't have this. And for months, we didn't have any income coming in. Ran through all of our savings. Luckily, we had a bank account that was forgiving, and they were like, hey, you can run up that negative as much as you want. But that number got high, real high. And that was an even though, because in that situation, we were still here, still serving, still, God, how can you use us? Even though our son was born with a disease, we still served, even though. And the reality is, we don't know anything else. It never crosses our mind that there's another option anymore, because we've separated from that world. And I'm not going to sit here and say that this was an easy thing to do. But it was a conscious decision, like, I do not want anything this world has to offer anymore. God, I only want you. I want to be in your will. I want to be submitted to your authority. I want to abide in your word. And I want your spirit to abide in me. This is what I want. And God said, trust me then. Trust me, my son, even when you're afraid. Trust me, even though you don't know what's going to happen in Atlanta. Trust me. Even though you don't know who's coming with you, trust me. Even though you don't know where the money's coming from, trust me. You don't know how it's gonna happen. Some of you guys have been wondering, I don't know if I can serve God, because what happens if this happens and what happens if that happens? Trust God. Trust God in the even though. We are always gonna go through a circumstance. That's why Paul writes, in every circumstance, give thanks. You're always going to go through a situation. It's always going to be something. Kids ain't acting right. Family's going through this. Money ain't right. Career ain't right. This ain't right. The world's never going to be right. It's not supposed to be. But we're not reliant on the world to provide for us. I'm reliant on Jehovah Jireh. I'm reliant on my Father. He is the one who provides for me in the even though situations. And this is what conquers fear. A lot of us, we're not stepping out in faith because fear has gripped our hearts. And fear will rob you of gratitude. Fear not, for the Lord is with you. You know how you overcome fear? You lean on the word and the promises of God. But you have to know them. And you have to speak them out. This year, I was going back through my messages for this year. And I remembered my word of the year. Persevere. That was every year I prayed with the Holy Spirit, like, what do you need me to grow in? What do you need me to learn more of? And my word this year was persevere. So my message to you, church, persevere. persevere. We're always going to be under attack. We're Christians. This is what we do. We signed up for this. We're always going to have the enemy showing up at our door. We're always going to have something coming up against us. That's what's going to happen. I say to you, persevere. There's always going to be an uphill battle. Persevere. Persevere by the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. Not on your own strength, not on your own accord, but the God who is working inside of you. Persevere. It shakes the world up when they see people just walking in joy, no matter the circumstance of what's going on, living a life full. It's like, how can you be so at peace? Because I got the peace of the Spirit. How can you have so much joy? Because I got the joy of the Lord. How can you walk in so much faith? Because my faith is not found in man. My faith is found in my Father. My Father who sent the Son to set me free. This is the life that I now live. This is what overcomes fear. My faith in God, my trust in the Word. But you gotta be able to speak things out over your life. When you're fearful, speak out words from the Word of God. Words like Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. When the enemy tries to get a hold of your ear, speak out the word of God, like Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. Be strong and courageous. He says this over and over to Joshua, even though Joshua was getting ready to go into the promised land. If you read in the Bible, Joshua was going into the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. And God still told him, be strong and be courageous. He says, do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Just because you're stepping into the promise doesn't mean there's not going to be opposition. There's a promise waiting for all of you. But you're going to have to go through some opposition. God says, do not fear. Be strong and be courageous, for I am with you. When you're doubting, here's this. When you're doubting whether or not you belong to God, speak out the truth in the Word of God, like Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor the present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything, and all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Do you hear me, church? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So, church, my words to you, do not walk in fear anymore, but persevere. Stand strong and in unity with one another. Lean on each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, driven by the Holy Spirit. Allow God to use your life to continue to build His kingdom upon the earth to the day that He returns. There are more leaders in this room. Grow. There are more pastors in this room. Grow. It is not done with just me and Teresa. There is more in Restoration Life. I am believing, hear me, church, I am believing for Restoration Life Culver City. I am believing for Restoration Life South Torrance. I'm believing for Restoration Life Orange County. I'm believing for Restoration Life New York, for Restoration Life Seattle, for Restoration Life Miami. I'm believing for Restoration Life Mexico. I'm believing for Restoration Life Dominican Republic. I'm believing for Restoration Life Egypt, for Restoration Life Iraq, Iran, all around this world. I'm believing for Restoration Life to continue to grow. No one owns this world. This is God's world, and we are God's people. We stand on the truth of His word, and we will not be stopped. The Bible says that no gates of the enemy shall prevail. We are the church. Will you stand to your feet? It's been an awesome 10 years, and no, I'm not leaving tomorrow. I'm still going to be here for another month. But with this time, I just want to say from the bottom of our hearts, thank you. Thank you for trusting us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your prayers and for your support. for those I've had the honor of leading. Thank you for allowing me to be your pastor. By being your pastor, it grew me so much more than you could ever believe. And you've been a blessing to my life, even when you were a headache. But you blessed my life. For those who've been my friend and been my peer and my brother in Christ, and we've grown together, I thank you. Thank you for sharpening me as iron sharpens iron. Thank you. For those who have wisdom and has deposited wisdom, I will always honor you and uplift you, and thank you for your words of encouragement. This church is gonna do amazing things. And no matter if we're 2,000 miles apart, we're always a part of it. Support one another. Encourage one another. Correct one another. Empower one another. Love each other the way Christ loved the church. I thank you and I honor you. So Father, right now, I just want to pray over every single person in this room. May your Holy Spirit dwell within them, and you show them the gifts that they have. You show them their strength. You show them their beauty. Let them look at themselves through the lenses of your eyes and not the eyes of man. Let them trust fully in your word. Let them pray without ceasing. Let them rejoice always. Let them be able to just follow and trust completely in your will. Every single one in here has a purpose in the kingdom. I pray right now for courage to build inside of them. That they step out in faith and boldness like never before. I pray for the future pastors in this room who will shepherd the next generation. I pray for the future worship leaders in this room who will write new songs to your name. I pray for those who will go and be missionaries. I pray for those who will finance the kingdom. Your healers, your prayer warriors, they're all here, God. Father, we lift up each and every one to you. Father, thank you for allowing us to serve your kingdom and serve your will. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, and all of God's people said, come on, give God a shout of praise.